It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's happening in San Diego? Welcome into Gwen and Chris. For a Wednesday get-together, 2:01 is the time. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, together in our Odyssey Palace studios this afternoon. Tony Gwynn Jr. is on a short vacation, so we will be without Tony for the next couple of days, which means that Scraby and I are left to our own devices, and you know how out of control things can get when that is the case.
It's already been out of control.
It really has been. I mean, we've only been together for about 10 minutes before the show today.
I've been here for about 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I really knew that it was going to be. I knew Tony wouldn't be hooked up by any, you know, there'd be no connection with Tony before the show. So I didn't really feel like dealing with you all by myself.
It's fine.
A lengthy period
it's
of time.
Okay,
so I came in a little late today. But yeah, we're going to make a roll here until 6 o'clock and keep you up to date on the Padres. They're playing and losing to the Reds right now. 6-2. That game is in the middle of the seventh inning in Peoria. Randy Vasquez. Welcome to reality. Gave up 3 home runs today in 3 2/3 innings, 8 hits, 5 runs, 3 homers hit off Vasquez today. So, you know, all of the young guys that the Padres have gotten from the Juan Soto trade, and in general, all of the young guys that are Padre prospects have had great springs.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's done something. And as Mike Shildt said, the competition for backup infield spots and for starting and backup outfield spots is, using his words, fierce.
I like that word.
Yeah, it's been a good competition. I mean, from guys like Tyler Wade to Eggy Rosario to Graham Pauly, you know? I mean, Brett Sullivan's had a really good spring. Oscar Mercado,
Tyler Ward,
Cal Mitchell. I said Tyler Wade.
Oh,
it's not Tyler Ward.
Why did I think it was Ward?
I don't know.
Is there a Tyler Ward out there?
Maybe with the Angels.
Ah, there we go. At least he's in baseball.
Yeah. So, but I mean, all of these guys, and I might have left out a couple. Well, Jackson Merrill, I shouldn't leave him out.
He goes unsaid.
He kind of goes unsaid. But I mean, all of these guys have given the Padres something to think about, and the same goes for the starting rotation until really today. I mean, Vasquez, you know, getting hit pretty good today by the Cincinnati Reds. Tyler Stevenson, Stuart Fairchild, and good old Encarnacion Strand.
At least those are
the
first
baseman, Christian Encarnacion Strand. All three homered off Randy Vasquez today, so he'll have to bounce back from a tough outing today. But you know, other than that, right? Michael King's been good.
Yeah.
Johnny Brito has been good. You know, we saw
Drew Thorpe.
Thorpe pitched well for a couple of innings. So
Wandy Peralta, even though he wasn't a part of that trade, he was still a Yankee.
Yeah, Wandy Peralta pitched a scoreless inning today. Our friend Usup Go, Mr. Go, pitched a scoreless inning today as well.
I love that.
So, you know, most of it's been good, but Randy Vasquez took it on the chin today. We'll keep you up to date with what's happening. Padres down 6-2, Jake Cronenworth, two hits and RBI. Fernando has a sacrifice fly, accounting for the two Padres runs this afternoon. I don't know that you can watch on the YouTube feed yet.
It's up. You just have to turn your camera.
I know, but I'm trying as I'm doing the show.
Okay.
You know, that's one of the things that people don't see when they're, you know, turning into the show at 2:00.
Yeah.
By the time Mr. Elston and Annie vacate the premises, you and I have like a minute to get all of our stuff situated.
I have even less because Braden Soprano's holding his own talk show in the middle of the break.
So, yeah, we have so little time, but I just got connected.
Okay.
So
it's all right.
People should be able to see. The reason I want everybody to see is because there is a light bouncing off my forehead.
It's not, though. Go look at the screen. I just put you
up. I really don't want to
search 97 Grade of Fan. See, it's not bad.
All right. It's, you know, but here's the thing. It's all Annie's fault. Annie.
You're blaming Annie?
I am. I'm blaming Annie. Annie being vain as she is.
Oh,
and
yes.
I say so, vain in a very positive, joking manner. But Annie wanted to make sure she looks good on the YouTube stream. So Annie brought in her own, what do you call these things?
Ring light.
A ring light.
Yes.
I call it a cosmetics makeup light that, like, my wife uses to get ready to go out for a big night out on the town.
You can call it that, too.
So Annie brought it in for her, and everybody thinks it's a great idea. So Adam Klug purchased them for everybody at the station, and now I have to sit here under the glare of a ring light.
Well, I am with Adam Klug on this because, you know, over here on my camera, Chris, I have weird lighting, and sometimes my face is super red.
Yes, you know what? I got to be honest with you. Looking at you, and I don't look at the stream very often, but I can click on it throughout the show if I want to. It looks good on you.
It looks good on you.
It doesn't look good on me, but maybe, I mean, all my warts come out.
Oh, yes, yes.
The lines on my forehead come out.
Those were already there, Chris.
I know they were there, but you couldn't see them as clearly.
It's not that strong of a light.
I hate the ring light.
You're lucky you're not on TV.
I just want to say, I'm not on TV for a reason.
I know.
Because I look like this.
Times have changed.
This is why I'm not on television. I am a radio personality only. And that is all I strive to be. I mean, tell everybody how long it took me to come around to just the idea of streaming the show on YouTube in the first place.
Here, I'll tell you. I'll tell everyone this story.
I was Mr. Negative on that for like the last 9 months.
I will say Tony has driven two very important parts of our show over the years. One, he hammered it home that we need to do a betting segment years and years and years ago.
The Daily Gambit.
Yes. So we took that and ran. Also, the video has been Tony's idea because he's
Tony was the one who said we have to have video because the morning show has video. There's no reason we can't have video. We couldn't really get it to where we could make it work for a while.
Yeah.
But I, throughout the entire process, was like,
Staunch no.
I hope it never works. I don't ever want to be on camera. I don't want people to be able to see me. And the reason for that is I'm trying to protect the people.
No.
It's not that I don't mind being on camera. I just don't want them to have to look at me for 4 hours every day. I think that most people would have a better, more relaxing day without that. That's just my thinking.
No. I think the same thing, Chris. When someone sends me a screenshot of us doing our show on their 75-inch TV, I'm like,
that's far too big. That's right.
That is far too big.
That one listener, at least one, said they watch our show on a, basically,
a projector.
The screen they have is the side of an entire wall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we're up there.
It's too big.
Every afternoon from 2:00 to 6:00.
But I will say this about
Chris. I apologize to everybody who thinks my face is too well lit today. It wasn't my idea. I'm not happy with it, but I have to go along with the program.
They said maybe you're too close to the camera, which is something that I need to adjust.
Where else can I go? This is something I need to adjust. The camera is pretty much... the camera, I can reach out and touch the camera with my finger. And
I'm going to turn it around.
What the camera does is provide, as I like to say, and as Tony doesn't like, it provides a nostril shot. That was my dad saying for those close-up shots that they get of the athletes on television. He never liked a nostril shot. And I got to be honest, I'm not a big fan of nostril shots either.
Well, you're not.
But here we are. So, you know, enjoy the best you can. As far as the program is concerned today, I'm going to talk a lot about last night's Aztec loss to UNLV. I have quite a few things on this game that bothered me. And first and foremost, what bothered me is that the Aztecs lost.
Yeah.
And again, they lost, right? It's like this thing with these road games in the conference. Now, the Aztecs, there's seven teams that have a chance to go to the NCAA tournament from the Mountain West Conference.
That's a lot, actually.
The Aztecs have lost to each of the other six, all of them on the road. And every single time, they've been in position to win, and they just haven't been able to get it done. I got to give the freshman point guard for UNLV, kid's 18 years old, tie ball game, steps back, hits a three over the outstretched arm of Jay Paul, one of the best defenders in the conference, and he knocks it in. I mean, what can I tell you? And then the Aztecs come down, they set up a play, they get Micah Parrish open for a three-pointer, only he wasn't open. The guy from UNLV came out and made an incredible block shot.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to tip your cap.
You do.
The guy made a hell of a play.
Brian Dutcher did in the post game.
Well, I mean, that's all that happened. So UNLV wins the ball game. The Aztecs take another loss. And, you know, with that, I have a feeling their number four seed is out the window. I don't know that they can still get a four seed with eight losses. Six in the conference. I think they're going to drop down to a five seed. Hopefully they don't lose to Boise State in the finale or lose early in the conference tournament, because that seed could become even a six. I don't know exactly where they're going to wind up, but I know that the four was really, really going to be beneficial. And I don't know that they can stay there unless, you know, they come home, they beat Boise State in the finale, and then they go back to Vegas and they dominate three really good teams and win the conference tournament.
Which can happen.
That can happen, but then maybe they could lift themselves up to a four. Remember, those games in Vegas, unless you're playing UNLV, are not road games. They're neutral site games. And that is at the crux of the research that I did today, Scraby.
Wow.
I got up early because the way the game last night was played and called by the officials.
Oh, this is a referee thing.
Kept me up all night. And you know that I'm coming from an angle where I am very respectful of and normally supportive of officials. But I have noticed a trend in the Mountain West Conference that is not impressive if you're an official. Here is what I noticed, and then I have the stats to back it up. Mountain West Conference officials are scared to death, intimidated, in terms of being able to make a call against the home team. They just are too scared to do it. And if you look at the game last night, Jaden Ledee was getting, as usual, punished under the rim, no call. At the other end, touch foul, UNLV goes to the free throw line. I don't like to make it sound like I'm complaining about officiating, so I want to make this clear. When the Aztecs are at home, they get the same advantage that UNLV got last night when they were at home. The same advantage Utah State got at Utah State. The same that New Mexico got at New Mexico. It doesn't seem to matter where the game is in the Mountain West. These officials are I was going to say chicken bleep.
Oh, no, you can't. RG3
I'm not
going to
say the reason. What
that.
I'm saying is they're shrinking in the face of the intimidation of the crowds.
But is that an actual thing? Because it shouldn't be if it is.
I think it is a natural thing, but it should not be to the extent it is. And so I went through and I looked up all of the free throw attempts that the Aztecs have gotten at home as opposed to the free throw attempts they've gotten on the road.
You have numbers to prove this.
I do. I have stats to back it up, and my stats are eye-opening. They're eye-popping. In their eight Mountain West Conference games at home, you don't do that yet. You haven't heard the stat.
Well, you said they were eye-popping.
They're going to be good. In the eight Mountain West games the Aztecs have played at home, the Aztecs in those eight games have shot 81 more free throws than their opponents.
Whoa.
81.
Okay.
That is one-sided officiating in favor of the Aztecs. In the nine road games they've played in the Mountain West, the Aztecs have shot 34 fewer than their opponents. That is a swing, Scraby, of 115 free throws.
I mean, that's a lot.
That is bad officiating. It's bad officiating.
I can't and prove it, that they're not. That,
it just is.
I can't prove you that the Aztecs are committing less fouls at home.
They're not.
Or more
they're,
fouls at home.
It's the same team. Jaden Ledee plays just as hard, just as physical at home as he does on the road. But on the road, he doesn't get the calls. At home, he does. And in general, the Mountain West officials just can't handle the glare, the spotlight, the intimidation of the crowds.
Of Mountain West crowd. They're scared of the crowds? If they are, they need to be replaced immediately.
That's my point. This is not... I want people to understand, I'm not complaining about the Aztecs losing last night because I'm giving both sides of this. The Aztecs will play Boise State on Friday night at home. They'll probably get all the calls. And the Aztecs, as a result, will probably win the game. And Jaden Ledee will be on the free throw line all night. But he wasn't last night, and the Aztecs weren't last night because they were on the road. A swing of 115 free throws over the course of this season, plus 81 at home, minus 34 on the road. The Aztecs are the same team. The officials are nowhere near the same.
Do we,
depending on where the game is played, that needs to be cleaned up.
Do we have any statistics on the rest of the Mountain West? Like, do we have
like Utah State?
Let me go
how many they
up.
Get at home as opposed to away?
Because if we start finding, I will look that up. Because if we start finding that that is the case,
oh, I'm pretty sure it is.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it is. But I did not go through every squad in the Mountain West. It took a little while to track all this down.
I know.
So I wasn't going to do Utah State home and away, Boise, etc. As far as the actual fouls are concerned, the Aztecs have been called for 40 fewer fouls at home than their opponent, but on the road, they've been called for 23 more. Again, a swing of 63 fouls over the course of this season. Same team, different venues, terrible officiating.
Normally, you know,
and it's taking away from my enjoyment of the game, and I'm sure many of you.
I'm trying not to be the guy I usually am and jump on this conspiracy theory as fast as I possibly can because I'm trying to look at this objectively.
Because I'm backing it up with stats.
You have to believe it.
You almost have to agree with it. What you said earlier is correct, Scrabe. You're going to get some hometown officiating. That's the nature of the beast.
But not that
but
big
not
of a disparity.
This big of a disparity, exactly.
I'm trying to find. I'm gonna look this up. We're gonna go through. I'm gonna go through. And
you know
see.
Who else was mad about the officiating last night? My friend Mark Ziegler. He tweeted some stuff out today. I was in conversation with him this morning by text.
Oh wow.
We'll talk about. What else happened
this
last
really rankled
night
some people.
In the Aztecs loss to UNLV? And notice, I'm not trying to take anything away from UNLV. The kid made the play on offense. The other kid made the play on defense. They won the game. but the officials have got to do a better job. And I don't, the one thing that I'm hopeful of is that when you get into the conference tournament and then the NCAA tournament, you shouldn't have this disparity because all the games will be on a neutral floor. And the officials shouldn't be intimidated by a crowd.
Do we want to go down that road again? Do we want to? Because
it just frustrates me.
UNLV's at home.
They're home for the conference tournament. You're right. The Aztecs may have to play them again. All right.
We have full red alert on the chat right now.
All right. Well, let's get to some of that when we come back. If you want to throw a comment in, please do so. These are factual numbers that I went ahead and researched to try and make my point.
Sometimes it makes you feel better.
Gwen and Chris underway for a wacky Wednesday, 6 o'clock, and then the Scraby Chronicles. Sit back, relax, enjoy your day. Please enjoy your day more than I'm enjoying mine. On 97.3 The Fan.
Get me out of here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
All right, welcome back. Short segment here. We got to get to the bottom of the hour. But Brian Dutcher, before we get to what rankled him last night and rankled Mark Ziegler.
This is breaking news from 97.3.
This is breaking news.
This is some pretty good breaking news. Mark Ziegler writing in the San Diego Union-Tribune just about 15 minutes ago that Brian Dutcher, the Aztecs head coach, has signed a new 5-year contract extension that will pay him up to $2.3 million a season. That's almost a million more than his previous contract. I don't think it's much of an argument that Dutcher has deserved this, especially considering what NCAA college basketball coaches make. Dutcher's new contract will rank him 54th in the nation. John Calipari tops the list at $8.5 million a year.
What has he done lately?
Not much. Dutcher at 2.3 is still well behind most of the West Coast coaches. Tommy Lloyd at Arizona, $6 million. UCLA's Mick Cronin, 4.1. Oregon's Dana Altman, 4. USC's Andy Enfield, 3.5. So J.D. Wicker said, hey, we're definitely getting a very economical deal. And I think Brian Dutcher is thrilled with it. So, you know,
this
works
is
for
huge.
Both sides.
This is massive.
Because Brian Dutcher said he's very appreciative that they're allowing me to coach at a place I love and have spent the last 25 years. He said, I've never been a job chaser. And he said Steve Fisher wasn't a job chaser either. He's happy where he is. He wants to stay here. And I think we should be pretty happy to have him. You know, I'm sure Dutch has his critics, especially after you lose 6 games on the road.
Yes.
In close games, people start getting a little bit, you know, touchy.
It was less than a year ago that they went to the national championship.
It was less than a year ago, right. All of a sudden, though, he can't coach.
I mean, I get it's the, what have you done for me lately?
Oh, I understand
but this,
that.
But this is huge because he could, there are so many schools out there that would pay him much more than this to get him at their
absolutely.
School.
So I think this is really, really a good thing for San Diego State. I looked up Brian Dutcher. He's been to the NCAA tournament four of his 6 years as a head coach.
Okay.
One of the years he didn't go, he was 30-2.
Yeah, he gets kind
and he
of,
certainly
yeah.
would have gone.
Yeah. So he might have even been a one seed.
Right. Might have been a one seed, at least a two. So he's been five of the 6 years. His record in the tournament is 5-4. All five wins were last year.
Yeah.
Steve Fisher in 18 seasons. Now, granted, it took Fish a long time, as it should have,
he
to get the program
work.
Turned around. But in his 18 seasons, Fisher went eight times, and his NCAA tournament record was 6-8. Mm. So Fisher won six tournament games. Dutcher's are five. I think Dutcher's been pretty incredible. And, you know, I love this guy, and I think most San Diego State fans do as well. So
how can you not? I mean, the guy's taking a massive pay cut to stay here in San Diego when he can easily go somewhere
else. Well, he's not taking a pay cut. I mean, he's getting his pay increased.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is pay cut is, like, around the country.
What he could make. Right. You're right. He could make more. I mean, we just said. I mean, look at all the other guys on the West Coast. They're all making more.
Tommy Lloyd of Arizona is making 4.1 in the end.
No, six.
Or six.
Six. Mick Cronin's 4.1 at UCLA.
Oh, there we go.
Anyway, so congrats to Coach Dutcher. More importantly, congrats to San Diego State for keeping Coach Dutcher. I did want to get into what upset him last night and then got Mark Ziegler upset. But I'm going to save that because we've got an interview with Sean Paul from the Mountain West Wire coming up.
He's no longer with them, but he is still locked in.
Locked into the Mountain West.
Yes, he's like one of the guys that I text who is so excited to talk college basketball.
Well, I'm going to throw some of these questions at him.
He'll have an answer.
I don't like to – I hate talking about officiating. I want to enjoy the game. But I can't enjoy the game when I know going in last night that UNLV is going to get every call.
We now go to our resident referee, Chris Sello.
That's why you're upset, because you are an official. You're an arbiter.
I honestly believe that even in high school, I'm trying to at least give the visiting team a fair shake. And I don't think the Mountain West officials in general do that, and I have the numbers, as I said, to back
all right.
it up.
Let me ask you this real quick, and I think we've talked about this before, but when you're reffing a game out at a high school, and it's a highly competitive game, there's lots of fans, are you compelled to swallow the whistle?
I don't think so, but I would imagine, I can't speak for unconsciously swallowing a whistle on a close call, but I'm trying to call every play as correctly as I can, regardless of who the foul
and I believe
is
that.
Against.
I do believe that.
But, you know, I'm sure that there's probably a couple of plays out there where the crowd does impact what you do as an official. It's human nature. And I agreed with you on that point. I just don't agree that it should be this much of a disparity.
That is a lot.
I'm holding up my little yellow piece
yes,
of paper where I figured out research this morning.
He's starting to become a crazy person with his little pieces of paper that he's waving.
My little piece of yellow paper here. This is where I did my research.
This is my proof.
This is my proof that the refs suck in the
Pretty
Mountain West Conference.
I'm going to be going to like Vaughn's and Chris is telling the checker about it. Believe me.
I'll pull him aside. All right. Sean Paul to talk more about the Mountain West and how many teams now. I mean, they're talking about six teams getting in, and that doesn't include UNLV. They sure look like they deserve to go to me. We'll talk about all of it and the Aztecs, more on Brian Dutcher's contract extension. We'll keep an eye on the Padres. Gwynn and Chris rolls on. All right, it's just gone final in Peoria. The Reds knock off the Padres today 6-2 in spring training play. Padres fall to 7-8 for the spring. Looking bad for your Cactus League title, Scrape.
Well, it doesn't mean anything anyway, Chris, so I don't care.
It certainly doesn't, but I think individual stuff does mean something.
Don't come back to that. Don't come back. You said it doesn't matter.
The whole thing as a team results. Randy Vasquez giving up three home runs today might matter. We'll see. Padres go down 6-2 to the Reds. All right, some more college basketball. Sean Paul works for the Field of 68. I follow these guys on Twitter.
Nice.
They know, I mean, I'm serious, they know everything about college basketball.
Well, their name is Field of 68.
Yeah, Sean Paul is really in tune with the Mountain West Conference, always full of great info and insight. Sean, thanks for coming on the show today. How are you?
Doing great. Quite the intro. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Way to boost the ego a little bit.
Doing what I can do. Doing what I can do. All right, I want to get to the real stuff in a minute, but you just tuned in to a bit of a firestorm. And it has to do with officiating in the Mountain West Conference, and I really don't like to go there. But I watched the Aztecs at UNLV last night, and it dawned on me that if you're playing on the road in the Mountain West Conference, you're just not going to get any calls. And so I went through the Aztecs season, and in their 8 home games, they have received 81 more free throws than their opponent. But in their 9 road games, they've received 34 fewer free throws than their opponent. Same team, different venues, a swing of 115 free throws. The coaches all around the country complain about officiating. But is there anything that can tighten up that gap a little bit? Because the Aztecs are the same team. The officials are not the same.
You know, the thing about it is, I just think it depends on what set of refs you're getting for a specific game. If you're in an area where you're going to have a big-time crowd, like obviously UNLV is not the biggest crowd in the Mountain West, but if you're in the Pit in New Mexico, you know that the crowd could influence some of these calls and how loud it is. That's obviously not how it's supposed to go, but I feel like I'd be lying if I said I don't think that's how it impacts the game sometimes. So I think the atmosphere can impact it. There's just a lot of things that go into it, but I just think it's really a game-by-game basis, and obviously how the game goes can impact things. If you're down, you're going to be fouling late, which could lead to more free-throw attempts. So I think the free-throw disparity, that could be part of it too. But all in all, I mean, the officiating is pretty inconsistent. I think in mostly all sports in general, like in baseball, you're going to get some missed strike calls. In football, you're going to get some missed penalties. In the NBA, you're going to get some missed travel calls. You're going to get some missed foul calls. At least they have the challenge. That's the one thing I'd like to see implemented in the college game, though. I'd like to see the one challenge. And if you win your challenge, you get another one like they have in the NBA now. I think that's really beneficial. And I think it's worked in the NBA, and I'd love to see it in college.
Chris, do you have anything else before we put away that tinfoil hat?
No, but I like his idea.
Yeah,
I mean, because I'm pretty sure Brian Dutcher would have had a few to challenge last night had he had the the wherewithal to do so. But, yeah, let's move on. Let's talk about these teams because, again, officiating, it's not what we should be focusing on.
We will be
on.
Talking about that later, though. So you can get
I'll bring it back up later.
Sean Paul with the Field of 68 joining us here on 97.3 The Fan. And speaking of Brian Dutcher, we just got news that he got a big old contract extension, which we are excited about here on the show. He's going to be under contract for until the 27-28 season. But he's not making money like a top coach, and we think that he is just taking a hometown discount. To put it into perspective for everyone, how many teams do you think would want Brian Dutcher and would pay big money for Brian Dutcher?
A lot of them. I mean, he is one of the best coaches in college basketball, but I think to a certain extent, you know, you factor in his age, you factor in how college basketball is trending right now with all the NIL stuff and all the transfer portal and all the recruiting. I think a lot of schools are going to go gravitating towards more of the younger guys if they're looking for a long-term move, and obviously Dutcher's not necessarily that guy. But for him, it makes a lot of sense. He's comfortable at San Diego State. There's no reason to go try to rebuild some Big Ten school and be fired in 5 years if it doesn't work. He knows that no matter what he does, he's going to be at San Diego State until he retires. Like, they're not going to fire him at any point. They're trying to become the Gonzaga of the Mountain West Conference in a sense. And I think they're well on their way to doing that if they aren't already, because they've just been consistent year in and year out, and Dutcher's just done a terrific job. I think he deserves more money than he's getting, but I think it is a hometown discount to a certain extent because comfortability is very important, and I think some coaches have shown that over the years. Mark, you obviously at Gonzaga, and if you're comfortable in a spot, there's no reason to leave it because it's not always a greener pasture.
Yeah, that's what Brian Dutcher said. Sean Paul, a field of 68. We know the Aztecs are going to be in the field of 68. You know, regardless of what happens here in the Mountain West Conference tournament. But this tournament should be incredibly interesting nonetheless, Sean. And, you know, right now, the projections I see, you know, five teams for sure, six maybe. But the seventh team would be UNLV, and they're not in most people's brackets right now. They've won five in a row. They've won 10 out of 11. They're a half game out of first place. They get the tournament on their home floor. How much intrigue is there, and how much is going to be at stake? And for what teams is it going to be really, really important to show well next week?
I mean, the one that has the most to lose or gain next week, obviously outside of UNLV, because they are auto bidder bust. They have to win the Mountain West tournament. Even if they win at Nevada, I just can't see them getting in. They have three quadrant four losses. One was against Southern. And it is worth noting some of those losses came without Keelan Boone, who was one of the two-time transfers, so he wasn't eligible at the start of the season. But I just don't know how much the selection committee is going to look at that and be like, hey, we're going to put UNLV in. They have questionable metrics. There's a lot of teams that I would put in over UNLV right now. Although UNLV is really hot, you have to look at the full body of work, because how they're playing right now holds no weight compared to the start of the season. But what it comes down to for me is New Mexico can't put the selection committee in a position to lead them out. They lost at home against Air Force. That is a terrible loss, and that's the reason they find themselves firmly on the bubble right now. They just have to keep winning games, get a win or two in the Mountain West tournament, lose a quadrant one game, and they're going to be fine. They should be in the NCAA tournament. It might be in Dayton, but they will probably be in the NCAA tournament unless they lose a game they should not lose. But we've seen them time and time again. Like, they've played really good against good teams, and they played down to some teams this year. They need to play their best in the conference tournament. But UNLV is an interesting team. I think that team is good enough to win a game in the NCAA tournament if they get there. We saw it last night. They're really good at home. They beat New Mexico twice. They beat Colorado State. They beat San Diego State. They lost against Utah State, a game they really should have won. They led by five with like 15 seconds left. They lost that one at home. But they are really good at home besides the Air Force game. It would not surprise me if they stole the auto bid and made the NCAA tournament, because they play really good in that building.
Talking to Sean Paul here of Field of 68, and I'm going to focus on one of the Aztecs players right now, and that would be Jaden Ledee. He's had a pretty incredible season, but every person that we talk to think he'll just miss out on being a first-team All-American. So do you think he should be a first- or second-team member, or is he a third member, third team? Is there a third team, Chris?
I think so.
Yes.
Okay, good. Good. That makes my question valid.
Yes.
Not a fourth team, just a third team.
Okay.
But I think what it comes down to for me is what you look at when you're putting players on a team. For me personally, I don't really do a position-based, but I think the actual list really does. You're going to have a couple guards on there. You're going to have a couple bigs on there. If I could put five bigs on there, if there was five bigs that deserved to be on the top of the list, I would do it. I don't care about the position. This isn't some hypothetical game we're rolling out there. We're trying to put the five best players on the first team, the five second best players on the second team, and then the 11 to 15 best players on the third team. Like, you're not making this a real game. So to me, position doesn't really matter. I would probably have him on the second team right now. Because you're going to have Zach Edey from Purdue on the first team, obviously. You're going to have Deron Holmes from Dayton, who I think is ahead of Jaden Ledee in some of these talks. I would have him on the first or second team, and then I would put Ledee on the second team probably. You're going to have a couple guards on that first team, either Tristan Newton from UConn, Tyler Kolick from Marquette. They're going to be in that mix, and the Dalton Connect from Tennessee is going to be on there, R.J. Davis from North Carolina. So you're going to have a lot of guys that deserve to be on that first team. I think Ledee has a really good case for being on the second team, but if he's on the third team, it wouldn't be a surprise. He's going to be a second or third team All-American, though. He deserves it. He's had an awesome season. But I will say, it wouldn't surprise me if he gets snubbed a little bit, though, because some people might lean towards Gray Osabor from Utah State instead, because he's on the team that's going to win the regular season title in the Mountain West.
Yeah, we're used to getting snubbed. So, Jaden, hopefully you won't have to deal with that. Sean, let's focus back in on the Aztecs. 14-0 at home, but 3-6 in the conference on the road. They lost to each of the other six teams that are NCAA tournament potential. All of the games were close, except I think New Mexico ran away at the end.
Yeah.
This Aztec team compared to last year's, I mean, they were looking at a 4 seed before last night, which would have been a better seed than they had last year. I don't know that this team could possibly be better than last year, but where do you think it is heading into the madness of March?
It's just a lot different, you know, because you're looking at Jaden Ledee becoming an absolute superstar. He didn't have a superstar last year. He had Matt Bradley, who was honestly had a pretty inconsistent season for what he was throughout his career. Then you had Ledee, who was solid, splitting minutes off the bench with Keyshawn Johnson. You had Nathan Mensah. You just had so many dudes that defend. The defense was a little better than it is last year. It's still elite this year, top 10 in defensive efficiency on KenPom, but it was fourth nationally last year. It's ninth right now. Having a star like Ledee is big in March. I mean, you have a guy that can go get you 20 points. You didn't know who that guy was going to be on a night-to-night basis last season. What it comes down to for me, though, and why I think San Diego State won't make it to, obviously not the national championship, that's going to be hard to replicate, but why I think making the Sweet 16 could be a bit of a stretch is because of their guard play. It just hasn't been very good this year. Darian Trammell's taken a step back. Lamont Butler is shooting a career low from three-point range, and he's kind of the guy that he's always been. He's going to be that tough defender. He's going to make some big shots. Obviously made one of the biggest shots in program history last year against FAU, but he's just an inconsistent scorer, and he's just a great defender, but he's not going to be that guy that's going to score you 20 every game in the NCAA tournament. That's just not who he is. And then Reese Waters, he's playing less and less minutes by the game. He only played like 12 minutes last night. So I think he needs to play more minutes for San Diego State to make a run in the NCAA tournament. They just don't know if their offense is going to be good enough in the biggest moments.
I think it's a fair analysis. I do. I mean, I would have loved to hear you say, oh, yeah, they're a lock for the Final Four. But nothing's a lock for the Final Four. I mean, what happened last year was magic. And we'd love to, you know, see some more magic this year. But I think you rated this team about right. I mean, you know, they are inconsistent offensively. And even by their own admission, they're not as good defensively. There's no way they can be without Nathan Mensah.
No,
I mean, he erased everything at the rim. So, you know, it's going to be tough. How about the rest of the Mountain West? Real quick, Sean, before we let you go, who do you like in the tournament to do something? I mean, other than the Aztecs making their run last year, the Mountain West has largely been disappointing come tournament time. Can somebody else, Utah State, Nevada, Colorado State, Boise, can somebody, you know, get to a Sweet 16? Or is it going to be a lot of bids and then a lot of disappointment?
You know, I have concerns about pretty much every team for different reasons, except for one team specifically. So I'll kind of get into those other teams. Boise State doesn't really have a point guard. Utah State can't shoot. Colorado State supporting cast is very inconsistent around Isaiah Stevens. The one team that I had the least concerns about is Nevada. They just play so well. They've done great on the road. They won at Colorado State without Keenan Blackshear. My one question would have been shooting because they didn't have a lot of shooters, but now Hunter McIntosh is becoming a guy. He had 25 points against Boise yesterday. I think he had 6 threes. Him becoming a big piece in this rotation makes Nevada's offense much more dangerous because you have Blackshear going to back you down as the 6'6" point guard. Then you have Jared Lucas, who's one of the best shooters in the game. And then Hunter McIntosh just adds another element on the offensive end. You have some tough dudes down low with Nick Davidson and KJ Himes and Tylan Pope. They don't turn the ball over very often. They're a really good defensive team. They can score inside and out. I think Nevada has a chance to make a pretty serious NCAA tournament run.
Ah, that would make all of us Steve Alford fans happy. I said that tongue-in-cheek. I'm not a Steve Alford fan, but I agree. I think Nevada's got a good shot. Pulled off a nice win last night at Boise State. Sean, you're amazing. Your insight and info is spot on. We appreciate it. I hope we can catch up with you again later on in March.
Absolutely. Just let me know. I'll be around.
All right. Very good. Sean Paul right there from the Field of 68. You want to follow him on Twitter. They will give you great NCAA insight like that. I mean, you can ask Sean Paul. You can go, what do you think of the San Jose State bench? He'll give you 4 guys coming off the bench for San Jose State.
He was a Mountain West Wire guy last year, so
yeah, he's good.
He's expanded his
horizons.
Reach, yes,
yeah,
with the Field of 68 now.
He's good, and I hate to say, but I think his analysis of the Aztecs is good. They're going to need more consistent play from Trammell, Butler, Reese Waters. I do think needs to be in there more because he's the one guy that I feel confident shooting. Micah Parrish's percentage has been down this year as well. You know, Ledee is not going to get it done by himself. And the Aztec defense, no way it can be as good as it was last year without Mensah. You just can't. I mean, every time a guy got past a guard and got into the paint, Mensah blocked a shot.
Remember when I put him on my top five Aztecs list and you guys laughed at me?
I didn't laugh at you.
Yes, you did.
All right.
You and Tony both laughed at me.
Well,
you're like, well, what are we doing?
Yeah. I don't know the Mensah is an all-time
emergency alert system. This is only a test. This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, it's just gone final in Peoria. The Reds knock off the Padres today 6-2 in spring training play. Padres fall to 7-8 for the spring. Looking bad for your Cactus League title, Scrape.
Well, it doesn't mean anything anyway, Chris, so I don't care.
It certainly doesn't, but I think individual stuff does mean something.
Don't come back to that. Don't come back. You said it doesn't matter.
The whole thing as a team results. Randy Vasquez giving up three home runs today. Might matter. We'll see. Padres go down 6-2 to the Reds. All right, some more college basketball. Sean Paul works for the Field of 68. I follow these guys on Twitter.
Nice.
They know, I mean, I'm serious. They know everything about college basketball.
Well, their name is Field of 68.
Yeah, Sean Paul is really in tune with the Mountain West Conference, always full of great info and insight. Sean, thanks for coming on the show today. How are you?
Doing great. Quite the intro. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Way to boost the ego a little bit.
Doing what I can do. Doing what I can do. All right. I want to get to the real stuff in a minute, but you just tuned in to a bit of a firestorm, and it has to do with officiating in the Mountain West Conference, and I really don't like to go there. But I watched the Aztecs at UNLV last night, and it dawned on me that if you're playing on the road in the Mountain West Conference, you're just not going to get any calls. And so I went through the Aztecs season, and in their eight home games, they have received 81 more free throws than their opponent. But in their nine road games, they've received 34 fewer free throws than their opponent. Same team, different venues, a swing of 115 free throws. The coaches all around the country complain about officiating, but is there anything that can tighten up that gap a little bit? Because the Aztecs are the same team. The officials are not the same.
You know, the thing about it is I just think it depends on what set of refs you're getting for a specific game. If you're in an area where you're going to have a big time crowd, like obviously UNLV is not the biggest crowd in the Mountain West, but if you're in the pit, in New Mexico, you know that the crowd could influence some of these calls and how loud it is. That's obviously not how it's supposed to go, but I feel like I'd be lying if I said I don't think that's how it impacts the game sometimes. So I think the atmosphere can impact it. There's just a lot of things that go into it, but I just think it's really a game-by-game basis, and obviously how the game goes can impact things. If you're down, you're going to be fouling late, which could lead to more free-throw attempts. So I think the free-throw disparity, that could be part of it too. But all in all, I mean, the officiating is pretty inconsistent. I think in mostly all sports in general, like in baseball, you're going to get some missed strike calls. In football, you're going to get some missed penalties. In the NBA, you're going to get some missed travel calls. You're going to get some missed foul calls. At least they have the challenge. That's the one thing I'd like to see implemented in the college game, though. I'd like to see the one challenge. And if you win your challenge, you get another one like they have in the NBA now. I think that's really beneficial. I think it's worked in the NBA, and I'd love to see it in college.
Chris, you have anything else before we put away that tinfoil hat?
No, but I like his idea.
Yeah,
I mean, because I'm pretty sure Brian Dutcher would have had a few to challenge last night had he had the the wherewithal to do so. But, yeah, let's move on. Let's talk about these teams because, again, officiating, it's not what we should be focusing on.
We will be
on.
Talking about that later, though, so you can get it on your chest again.
I'll bring it back up later.
Sean Paul with the Field of 68 joining us here on 97.3 The Fan. And speaking of Brian Dutcher, we just got news that he got a big old contract extension, which we are excited about here on the show. He's going to be under contract for until the 27-28 season. But he's not making money like a top coach, and we think that he is just taking a hometown discount. To put it into perspective for everyone, how many teams do you think would want Brian Dutcher and would pay big money for Brian Dutcher?
A lot of them. I mean, he is one of the best coaches in college basketball, but I think to a certain extent, you know, you factor in his age, you factor in how college basketball is trending right now with all the NIL stuff and all the transfer portal and all the recruiting. I think a lot of schools are going to go gravitating towards more of the younger guys if they're looking for a long-term move, and obviously Dutcher's not necessarily that guy. But for him, it makes a lot of sense. He's comfortable at San Diego State. There's no reason to go try to rebuild some Big Ten school and be fired in 5 years if it doesn't work. He knows that no matter what he does, he's going to be at San Diego State until he retires. Like, they're not going to fire him at any point. They're trying to become the Gonzaga of the Mountain West Conference in a sense. And I think they're well on their way to doing that if they aren't already, because they've just been consistent year in and year out, and Dutcher's just done a terrific job. I think he deserves more money than he's getting, but I think it is a hometown discount to a certain extent because comfortability is very important, and I think some coaches have shown that over the years. Mark, you obviously at Gonzaga, and if you're comfortable in a spot, there's no reason to leave it because it's not always a greener pasture.
Yeah, that's what Brian Dutcher said. Sean Paul, Field of 68. We know the Aztecs are going to be in the Field of 68. You know, regardless of what happens here in the Mountain West Conference tournament. But this tournament should be incredibly interesting nonetheless, Sean. And, you know, right now, the projections I see, you know, five teams for sure, six maybe. But the seventh team would be UNLV, and they're not in most people's brackets right now. They've won five in a row. They've won 10 out of 11. They're a half game out of first place. They get the tournament on their home floor. How much intrigue is there, and how much is going to be at stake, and for what teams is it going to be really, really important to show well next week?
I mean, the one that has the most to lose or gain next week, obviously outside of UNLV, because they are auto bid or bust. They have to win the Mountain West tournament. Even if they win at Nevada, I just can't see them getting in. They have three quadrant four losses. One was against Southern. And it is worth noting some of those losses came without Keelan Boone, who was one of the two-time transfers. So he wasn't eligible at the start of the season. But I just don't know how much the selection committee is going to look at that and be like, hey, we're going to put UNLV in. They have questionable metrics. There's a lot of teams that I would put in over UNLV right now. Although UNLV is really hot, you have to look at the full body of work because how they're playing right now holds no weight compared to the start of the season. But what it comes down to for me is New Mexico can't put the selection committee in a position to leave them out. They lost at home against Air Force. That is a terrible loss, and that's the reason they find themselves firmly on the bubble right now. They just have to keep winning games, get a win or two in the Mountain West tournament, lose a quadrant one game, and they're going to be fine. They should be in the NCAA tournament. It might be in Dayton, but they will probably be in the NCAA tournament unless they lose a game they should not lose. But we've seen them time and time again. Like, they've played really good against good teams, and they played down to some teams this year. They need to play their best in the conference tournament. But UNLV is an interesting team. I think that team is good enough to win a game in the NCAA tournament if they get there. We saw it last night. They're really good at home. They beat New Mexico twice. They beat Colorado State. They beat San Diego State. They lost against Utah State, a game they really should have won. They led by five with like 15 seconds left. They lost that one at home. But they are really good at home besides the Air Force game. It would not surprise me if they stole the auto bid and made the NCAA tournament because they play really good in that building.
Talking to Sean Paul here of Field of 68, and I'm going to focus on one of the Aztecs players right now, and that would be Jaden Ledee. He's had a pretty incredible season, but every person that we talk to think he'll just miss out on being a first-team All-American. So do you think he should be a first- or second-team member, or is he a third member, third team? Is there a third team, Chris?
I think so.
Yes.
Okay, good. Good. That makes my question valid.
Yes.
Not a fourth team, just a third team.
Okay,
but,
good.
I think what it comes down to for me is what you look at when you're putting players on a team. For me personally, I don't really do a position base, but I think the actual list really does. You're going to have a couple guards on there. You're going to have a couple bigs on there. If I could put five bigs on there, if there was five bigs that deserved to be on the top of the list, I would do it. I don't care about the position. This isn't some hypothetical game we're rolling out there. We're trying to put the five best players on the first team, the five second best players on the second team, and then the 11 to 15 best players on the third team. Like, you're not making this a real game. So to me, position doesn't really matter. I would probably have him on the second team right now, because you're going to have Zach Edey from Purdue on the first team, obviously. You're going to have Deron Holmes from Dayton, who I think is ahead of Jaden Ledee in some of these talks. I would have him on the first or second team, and then I would put Ledee on the second team probably. You're going to have a couple guards on that first team, either Tristan Newton from UConn, Tyler Kolick from Marquette. They're going to be in that mix. And the Dalton Knecht from Tennessee is going to be on there, R.J. Davis from North Carolina. So you're going to have a lot of guys that deserve to be on that first team. I think Ledee has a really good case for being on the second team, but if he's on the third team, it wouldn't be a surprise. He's going to be a second or third team All-American, though. He deserves it. He's had an awesome season. But I will say, it wouldn't surprise me if he gets snubbed a little bit, though, because some people might lean towards Gray Osabor from Utah State instead because he's on the team that's going to win the regular season title in the Mountain West.
Yeah, we're used to getting snubbed. So, Jaden, hopefully you won't have to deal with that. Sean, let's focus back in on the Aztecs. 14-0 at home, but 3-6 in the conference on the road. They lost to each of the other six teams that are NCAA tournament potential. All of the games were close, except I think New Mexico ran away at the end.
Yep.
This Aztec team compared to last year's, I mean, they were looking at a four seed before last night, which would have been a better seed than they had last year. I don't know that this team could possibly be better than last year, but where do you think it is heading into the madness of March?
It's just a lot different, you know, because you're looking at Jaden Ledee becoming an absolute superstar. He didn't have a superstar last year. He had Matt Bradley, who was honestly had a pretty inconsistent season for what he was throughout his career. Then you had Ledee, who was solid, splitting minutes off the bench with Keyshawn Johnson. You had Nathan Mensah. You just had so many dudes that defend. The defense was a little better than it is last year. It's still elite this year. Top 10 in defensive efficiency on KenPom, but it was fourth nationally last year. It's ninth right now. Having a star like Ledee is big in March. I mean, you have a guy that can go get you 20 points. You didn't know who that guy was going to be on a night-to-night basis last season. What it comes down to for me, though, and why I think San Diego State won't make it to, obviously not the national championship, that's going to be hard to replicate, but why I think making the Sweet 16 could be a bit of a stretch is because of their guard play. It just hasn't been very good this year. Darian Trammell's taking a step back. Lamont Butler is shooting a career low from three-point range, and he's kind of the guy that he's always been. He's going to be that tough defender. He's going to make some big shots. Obviously made one of the biggest shots in program history last year against FAU, but he's just an inconsistent scorer, and he's just a great defender, but he's not going to be that guy that's going to score you 20 every game in the NCAA tournament. That's just not who he is. And then Reese Waters, he's playing less and less minutes by the game. He only played like 12 minutes last night. So I think he needs to play more minutes for San Diego State to make a run in the NCAA tournament. They just don't know if their offense is going to be good enough in the biggest moments.
I think it's a fair analysis. I do. I mean, I would have loved to hear you say, oh, yeah, they're a lock for the Final Four. But nothing's a lock for the Final Four. I mean, what happened last year was magic. And we'd love to, you know, see some more magic this year. But I think you rated this team about right. I mean, you know, they are inconsistent offensively. And even by their own admission, they're not as good defensively. There's no way they can be without Nathan Mensah.
No,
I mean, he erased everything at the rim. So, you know, it's going to be tough. How about the rest of the Mountain West? Real quick, Sean, before I let you go, Who do you like in the tournament to do something? I mean, other than the Aztecs making their run last year, the Mountain West has largely been disappointing come tournament time. Can somebody else, Utah State, Nevada, Colorado State, Boise, can somebody, you know, get to a Sweet 16? Or is it going to be a lot of bids and then a lot of disappointment?
You know, I have concerns about pretty much every team for different reasons, except for one team specifically. So I'll kind of get into those other teams. Boise State doesn't really have a point guard. Utah State can't shoot. Colorado State supporting cast is very inconsistent around Isaiah Stevens. The one team that I had the least concerns about is Nevada. They just play so well. They've done great on the road. They won at Colorado State without Keenan Blackshear. My one question would have been shooting because they didn't have a lot of shooters, but now Hunter McIntosh is becoming a guy. He had 25 points against Boise yesterday. I think he had 6 threes. Him becoming a big piece in this rotation makes Nevada's offense much more dangerous because you have Blackshear going to back you down as the 6'6" point guard. Then you have Jared Lucas, who's one of the best shooters in the game. And then Hunter McIntosh just adds another element on the offensive end. You have some tough dudes down low with Nick Davidson and KJ Himes and Tylan Pope. They don't turn the ball over very often. They're a really good defensive team. They can score inside and out. I think Nevada has a chance to make a pretty serious NCAA tournament run.
Ah, that would make all of us Steve Alford fans happy. I said that tongue-in-cheek. I'm not a Steve Alford fan, but I agree. I think Nevada's got a good shot. Pulled off a nice win last night at Boise State. Sean, you're amazing. Your insight and info is spot on. We appreciate it. I hope we can catch up with you again in, later on in March.
Absolutely. Just let me know. I'll be around.
All right. Very good. Sean Paul right there from the Field of 68. You want to follow him on Twitter. They will give you great NCAA insight like that. I mean, you can ask Sean Paul. You can go, what do you think of the San Jose State bench? He'll give you four guys coming off the bench for San Jose State.
He was a Mountain West Wire guy last year, so
yeah, he's good.
He's expanded his
horizons.
Reach, yes,
yeah,
with the Field of 68 now.
He's good, and I hate to say, but I think his analysis of the Aztecs is good. They're going to need more consistent play from Tremel, Butler, Reese Waters. I do think needs to be in there more because he's the one guy that I feel confident shooting. Micah Parrish's percentage has been down this year as well. You know, Ladie is not going to get it done by himself. And the Aztec defense, no way it can be as good as it was last year without Mensah. You just can't. I mean, every time a guy got past a guard and got into the paint, Mensah blocked a shot.
Remember when I put him on my top five Aztecs list and you guys laughed at me?
I didn't laugh at you.
Yes, you did.
All right.
You and Tony both laughed at me.
Well,
you're like, well, what are we doing?
Yeah. I don't know the Mensah is an all-time
emergency alert system. This is only a test. This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.